现在要为耶稣基督鼓掌了。有哪一个人上个礼拜有来的请举手。
Anyone who came last week?
谢谢。
Thank you.
哪一个人上个礼拜没有来的请举手。
Anyone did not present last week?
谢谢。
Thank you.
有哪一个人下个礼拜有来的请举手。
Anyone will come next week?
我都不知道了。因为下个礼拜是在神的手里面。
Because next week is in the hand of the Lord.
下个礼拜我要请陈荣先唱一首诗歌好吗？
Next week we'd like to invite Brother 陈荣 to sing a song for us.
其实现在请他唱也可以的。
Well, we can even ask him to sing now.
我要尊重音乐家。
But I have to respect the musician.
所以下个礼拜他预备了一定唱得更好。
So he'll get prepared and then sing even better next week.
陈荣是谁啊？
Who is 陈荣？
就是姓陈名荣的这一位。
Well, he is by the surname of Chen and then the name is 荣。
他是马来西亚的国宝。
He is actually the treasure of Malaysia.
我们在印尼等了40年，还没有一个这样的声音。
In Malaysia, we have been waiting. In Indonesia, we have been waiting for 40 years, yet we cannot have this kind of people.
你们没有等就有这样的声音。
But you never wait, and you have this kind of person.
感谢上。
Praise the Lord.
基督教是歌唱的宗教。
Christianity is a religion of singing.
基督徒的人生是赞美的人生。
And the life of Christian is life of praises.
诸宗教里面，只有基督教的音乐达到最高最高的境界。
Among all the religions, only the Christianity has reached the highest apex of music.
从中古至到现在。
And coming from the Middle Age until today.
所以，伟大的作曲家几乎没有不写圣曲。
Great composers, none of them we can say that never composed this sacred music.
甚至连20世纪的 Stravinsky。
Even the 20th century Stravinsky,
他年老的时候要写 the Symphony of Psalms.
When he was old, he has to write the Symphony of Psalms.
诗篇交响乐
The Symphony of Psalms.
表示什么呢？
What does it mean?
就当他把音乐向最高的神献上的时候，那他的生命同艺术的价值才使他自己得到满足。
When he offered this music to the highest God, then his life and music could be satisfied in his life.
很多人有音乐的恩赐，但是不知道向谁发出去。
Many people are talented with music, but they do not have the object for which they can project to.
所以许多人把上帝给他的音乐的才干拿去夜总会去乱唱一唱。
So many people, to the talents that God has given to them, they sing only in the nightclub.
但音乐没有与神发生关系的时候，这个人不是疯狂、骄傲，就是浪漫，就是堕落。
When music do not have the connection with God, then this man will lose a very loose and lustful life, or he will be the one who will not be so high class.
因为神把音乐的恩赐给人，乃是要人荣耀他。
Because God has given the talents of music to people, so that we will glorify His name.
欧洲有一个很著名的提琴大师，小提琴的这个演奏家叫做 Christian Ferras。
Christian Ferras, a very famous European violinist.
他们年轻的时候演奏出的东西，人家说 the new star is arising.
When he was young, he played, and people say that the new star is arising.
后来他怎么死，你知道吗？
How did he die? Do you know?
自杀。
He committed suicide.
千万人盼望有他才干的一半。
Many people just hope that they can have only what have or what he has in talents.
就一生一世满意的不得了了。
Though you will be feel so satisfied in the whole life.
不能世界出名，至少这个州出名。
If you cannot be famous in the whole world, at least in your own province.
不在亚洲出名，至少马来西亚出名。
If it's not in Asia, maybe in Malaysia.
住在马来西亚不出名，至少基隆不出名。
If not in Malaysia, maybe in Kuala Lumpur, you are famous.
基隆不出名，至少学校里面第一名。
If you are not famous in Kuala Lumpur, maybe in the school you come first.
学校里面不出名，至少家里也不错。
If you are not in the school, maybe in your home you are not bad.
多少人盼望有那些天才的万分之一的才干就很好。
A lot of people just hope that they can have one thousandth of the talents of the musicians.
你所最羡慕的人，可能他自己是最不满意自己的。
But the one that you admire most, maybe he's the one who feels not satisfied with himself. Why?
因为他一生还没有发生。
Because he has not had that connection with God.
感谢主，我这一生看到几个中国很好的音乐家都是很好的基督徒。
Praise the Lord that in my life I've seen some of the Chinese musicians, the good musicians, they are Christians.
我常吩咐他们不要忘记用音乐服侍上帝。
Many times I encourage them that they would use the talent to serve the Lord.
感谢上帝。
Praise the Lord.
我们再来唱一首诗歌好吗？
One more hymn we are going to sing.
我们要唱的诗歌还是第七首。
Number seven.
全世界失去灵魂有什么益处呢？
Number seven.
我都靠我主得救，免后悔莫及。
That I will rely on my Lord to be saved, lest that I regret.
这一首诗歌是我1965年七月份的时候在万隆印尼的一个青年夏令会写的。
I composed this hymn in 1965 on July in one of the youth conference in Bandung.
我们大家一同来唱。
We'll sing together.
全世界只灵魂合一，我也靠我主的救，免后悔莫及。我主比全世界更加美，更加美，随世界比过去主高。永长存，我若得我救主，世世何惜？主啊，我愿得着你，永远在你。
我们就唱《永不分离》，我们再唱一首好吗？刚才你们还不大会唱。所以一面唱一面投石问路啊，一面唱一面找哪一个调才对，所以有歪来歪去的那些声音在里面。
We are still in the process of learning, actually.
那怎么唱呢
？How do we sing?
你眼睛看字的时候呢，分一点时间去看调。
Whereas you read the words, you also try to read for the melody.
那么自己在里面调你的音。
And then try to tune all your voices in it.
这个是所有乐器不能做到，只有神造的人才能做到。
This is something that this instrument cannot do, but only God's creation can.
一、二、唱。
我若得见世界这灵魂合一，我愿靠我主的救，免后悔莫及。我主。全世界更加美，更加美，这世界比过去值得永长存。我若得我救主，世世何惜？
会唱了
，You can sing now。
好，我们现在请 ladies first， 你的先唱一唱。
请姐妹先唱。
一、二、唱。大家唱，
我若得我救主，世世佛喜，主我愿得着你，永不分离。
弟兄们唱，
我若得见世界是你。免后悔莫及，我祝你全世界更加美，更加美，这世界的光景直到永长存。
大家站起来唱，
我若 主啊，我也得说你永不分离。
现在我们一同开声，预备我们的心，领受主的话语。
We shall pray together aloud, prepare our heart to receive the word of Lord.
我们每一个人用信心到主的面前。
Everyone will come to the Lord by faith.
以饥渴慕义的心等候主给我们的话语。
A heart that desire for the righteousness of God and want to wait for the word of Lord.
我们大家开心祷告。
We shall pray together aloud.
主啊，我们再一次到你的面
前。父神，我们再次感谢你。当我们来到你面前的时候，我们再一次的向主你祷告。求主你真的是把我们的心对主你敞开的时候，你再一次用的话语来启迪我们，来光照我们，来建造我们。
也
是我们领受主的话语的时候，我们的生命得到主你自己的改变。主啊，我们软弱的时候，我们需要主你再次的用你的话语来刚强我们。我们真正求主你今天晚上再次的透过你的仆人般的话语传讲，并且传讲一直进入我们的心的当中，以致我们领受主的话语的。说我们每一个人都能够得到你话语的造就，我们再次恭敬地把今晚上的机会带到神面前，
这样祈求
是每一个人能够领受主的话语，奉主
的名祷告，
阿们，
阿们。我们再一次为马来西亚教会的复兴祷告。
Once again, we pray for the revival of Malaysian churches.
无论是神学院，无论是执事，无论是长老，无论是平信徒，愿主的恩、主的爱、主的光、主的道复兴他的儿女们。
No matter in the seminary, in the church, where the elder, the deacons, the pastor, we want to pray that the word of God will revive their hearts.
我们大家开声祷告。
We pray together.
主啊，我们把马来西亚的教会带到神面前。
主啊，我们再一次的把我们马来西亚的教会和圣贤带到神的面前。我们真需要这个话语。再一次的建立我们，
求主你
就是使恩，我们知道我们在这个年纪里面，我们所需要的是你的道，再一次在我们当中里面被主你所使用，
对
我们在你面前尊重，以致我们遇见
更多
新的
真理，
我们就能够认识
你
的心意是如何。
我们
就是我们当刚看到神的道，当看到道中的耶稣基督，以致我们这些个年轻的福星是以基督作为中心，以神的道作为中心的复兴。我们求主你施恩，神学
的老师、教
授、
神学的同学，
在这些年
这个长老、这
是
教会的牧师、
建立在
基督教会的儿女，都在他的面前。求你听我们祷告，
能够
我们感谢赞美，
真正
垂听奉主耶稣基督的圣名，我们如此祈求祷告，阿门。请坐
，Please be seated。
有一个人问，为什么很多教会请不到唐牧师？但是呢，好像有一些很小的单位就可以请他来了。
There were some who asked this question: Why then many of churches cannot invite Dr. Stephen Tong, but yet some of the small organization can invite him to come and speak?
这是很大的误会。
This is a great misunderstanding.
因为我们几乎没有再接受邀请了。
Because almost we do not take any invitation.
所以无论什么教会邀请，我都不会去。
Whether any other churches will invite, I will not go.
为什么呢
？Why?
因为如果答应一个教会，不答应另外一个教会。就变成人家说我眼睛大小眼，像印尼的总统呢。
Because if I were to go with one church and not the other, then people will say that I have a big and a small eyes to churches.
好像印尼的总统呢。
Like the president of Indonesia.
那么这个表示你不公义，你是不是一视同仁的
？Which means you are not righteous. You do not treat everything as everyone as equal.
所以布道团决定我的聚会。不是接受邀请的。
So our ministry have decided that our meeting will not be on by invitation.
其他的同工可个别接受邀请。
Yes, all the co-workers can have invitations that they go.
如果教会有100个人
，If you have 100 people in the church,
或者200个人
，or 200,
那我每次到一个教会几天的话。我要对一两千个人讲道，我就花几个礼拜的时间。
So if I were to go to different churches to preach to thousands, then I spend maybe weeks to preach to these people.
我就决定了，我们主办聚会邀请各城市里面肯同心的同工一同来合办。
So that we have decided for future meeting, we'll invite those who have heart to organize meeting to come together and we organize together.
所以这个聚会就不属于任何一个宗派。
So that this meeting will not belong to any denomination or churches.
所以这个城市所有爱主肯追求真理的圣徒。
But rather it belongs to the people who love the Lord in this city.
这样比较好啊，比较不好啊？
Is that better?
比较好，对不对呢？
That will be better.
所以你要告诉你的牧师，唐牧师不是骄傲不给我们请，他现在不接受邀请。
So tell your pastor it is not because Reverend Stephen Tong is proud, that's why he do not take any invitation, but rather because we do not take any invitation at all.
台湾一位牧师说，我们等你几年都请不到，你现在自己一直来。
And Taiwan, there was a church pastor. He said that we're waiting for a few years to invite you, but you never come. But now we never invite you, and you come yourself.
我们梦都梦想不到。
And we cannot just dream about it.
那你年纪这么大，还每个礼拜自己飞来，你来我不来，哪里好意思？
Then you are so old, and yet you take flight and come every week. When you come, we have to come. If not, we are put to shame.
我想只有这个办法可以一视同仁了。
It is only with this method we can treat everyone as equal.
所以众教会的弟兄姊妹都可以来。
So all members of the churches can come.
Amen. 感谢上帝。
Praise the Lord.
那我们除了这个解经的讲台以外，
other than this expository pulpit，
我们每一年还有几个城市有专题的神学讲座。
And every city in every year we go for this special theological topic。
不同的地方在哪里呢？
Where is the difference？
解经的时候是一本一本、一章一章、一节一节讲。
When it is expository preaching, we preach book by book, chapter by chapter, and verse by verse。
就是讲到圣经里面去。
And preaching even right into the depth of the Bible。
神学讲座是按照一个大题目从全本圣经里面讲出来。
Where theological doctrine, we preach on the doctrine and we exit from the Bible。
所以这个是 expository。
This is expository.
一节一节解释。
And also explaining word by verse. And also phrases by phrases.
这个讲座呢是 topical preaching.
Whereas for these talks, it will be topical preaching.
是按照一个重要的题目，把全本圣经神要我们知道的最重要的总原则把它提出来。
And according to a topic, according to what the Bible wants us to know about this topic, we want to sum it up together with the important principles.
这两种工作以外，
and other than these two ministries,
我们还有一种工作，
one more ministry that we have.
几年一次选定几个有影响的城市来举行大布道会。
Once in a few years, we choose some very strategic cities so that we have a great crusade.
那么这个信息呢，就是比较对非基督徒来传讲。
And the message will be more towards non-Christians.
也使基督徒更明白我们信的福音里面的教义的架构同那个震撼性的信息的能力是什么。
But also to enable Christians to know the structure of our doctrine and also the kind of power that it has to our heart.
所以这种大聚会是次数最少的。
So this kind of big crusader will be less in frequency.
这个是 citywide crusade.
And this is a citywide crusade.
整个城市信主不信主什么教导人都可以来听。
It will be involving all people in the city, whether Christian or non-Christians.
可能几年里面只有几天。
Maybe a few years, but only a few days in the city.
那个时候我们就要这些参加解经讲台从参加神学讲座的弟兄姊妹领受了这些信息的精神，也知道我们福音的这一个动机，那么大家同心合力齐心努力来把神的道传给这个。
Then we invite those people who have participated in this seminar and expository preaching to come together, work together for the citywide crusade.
除此以外，
other than that,
这个归正神学的讲台的运动，
this movement of the reformed evangelical pulpit,
除了给你增加圣经的知识之外，
other than to increase your knowledge of the Bible,
更要建立你信仰的架构，
is going to establish your theological and faith structure,
奠定你对神的侍奉的方向，
and even to found your direction of serving the Lord,
然后又建立你爱神的话、爱神的家、爱人灵魂和那个侍奉的火热的心。
And also to establish your heart to serve the Lord because you desire for the truth.
对内建造信仰。
So inwardly you want to build our foundation of our faith.
对外我们装备丰富的真理内容，以后对人对答传福音的时候我们不会紧张，不会惧怕。
And outwardly after we have been equipped with the word of the Lord, when we face the non-Christian to preach the word, we will not be trembling.
这些经常在聚会里面受造就的圣徒，
And this saint that have been built up for all this series of meetings,
有了足够的分量以后，他们再去见证，再去带领团去讲道，甚至开教会的时候，他们知道怎么做。
When you have been built up, when you go and lead fellowship to speak and even to found churches, then you know what to do.
如果你每个礼拜来参加，
if you were to come every week,
那 我会尊重你们过于尊重神学院的学生。
Then I will respect you more than I respect the theological student in the seminary.
因为神学院的学生有学分，他就好好上课，如果没有，我就不知道了。
Because in the seminary, if they have credit, then they study well, but if there's no credit, I wouldn't know whether they study well or not.
但你们一定不是为了学分来，因为我从来没有告诉你来的，我给你学分。
But when you come, of course you will not come for a credit because I never told you that I will be giving credit.
你们是为听真理而来的。
But it is because you want to listen to the truth that you come.
所以我会尊重你们。
So I respect you.
那么你说你在神学院教的跟在这个地方讲的大概有什么差别呢？
Then you was asked what is the difference of the preaching here and the seminary.
没有一个神学院我会教比我在解经讲台更详细的东西。
There would not be a single seminary whereby I'll preach in a more detailed way as what I preach in the expository preaching in this place.
因为我相信平信徒中间有一些甚至比神学院的学生更有神学头脑的潜在。
Because I truly believe that in this kind of expository preaching congregation, there are people who might be more sharp than those who are in the theological seminary.
所以我要把最好的能给你们的。尽心竭力的给你。
So I want to give the best that what I have to you.
我们现在大概打开罗马书第一章。
We want to read in Romans chapter 1.
我们大家一同开声来读。
That we want to read together.
罗马书第一章。
Romans chapter 1.
我不会告诉你第几面。
I wouldn't tell you which page.
因为那是最好的办法培养你变成懒惰的基督徒。
Because that's the best way to make you lazy.
所以你自己找，找不到回去祷告求主赦免你的罪。
So if you find, you cannot find it, go back and pray and repent to the Lord.
我们低头祷告。
Shall we pray again?
主啊，我们已经打开你的话语。
是的，主。
恳求你这个时候打开我们的心。
是的，主。
你对于我们的说话，使我们因听就产生信。因为你说信道是从听道来的，求主你赐福你卑微的仆人，愚昧的仆人，给他把他自己的愚昧、软弱、亏欠、不配放在祭坛上的时候，你就焚烧，你就用主你的大爱激励他，借着他把你的真理传讲清楚。奉主耶稣基督得胜的尊名求你，阿门。上个礼拜我们已经用整个概念来看保罗为什么写罗马书。
Last week using the whole concept, we want to read why is that Paul want to write the epistle to Romans.
保罗侍奉的心智常常是比他的脚步跑更远。
The heart of Paul in his ministry sometimes travel faster than his words.
所以这个人是有眼见，有伟大的心智来做更多更多已经做过的工作的一个使徒。
He is the one that have a longer vision, a one who has established much thing as an apostle.
保罗就在主后五十几年的时候就写了这一本书。
Paul in the years of our 50s and 80s, he wrote this epistle.
写这本书以后大概11年，最后他就在罗马被人杀，砍头而死。
And about 11 years after he had written this book, he was beheaded in this city called Rome.
所以罗马书应该是主后56到57年书写的。
So we can estimate that this Roman epistle is written on the year 56 to 57 AD.
当他写这本书的时候，他没有到过罗马。
When he was writing this book, he has never been to Rome.
但是他曾经数次甚至屡次从心智的中间盼望快快在那个大城市里面把福音。
But there was a few times it is hard to desire that he could go there and preach the gospel in that big city.
为什么一定要在罗马城传福音呢？
Why to preach in the city of Rome?
是不是保罗不盼望做个乡下的传道人？
Is it because Paul does not desire to be a preacher in the village?
他要做一个帝国首都传过道的人才心满意足吗？
That he will feel satisfied only when he preached the city of the emperor, the empire?
不是的。
No.
保罗在这本书里清楚知道，他说他亏欠任何一种的人。
He said that because I fall short of any race at all in the gospel.
他也清楚知道 罗马城的需要比别的地方更大。
And very clearly he knew that the need in the city of Rome is bigger than any city.
几乎每一个国家都有个特别大的城市，成为那个国家无论是经济、政治或者其他文化因素的代表。
We know that nearly in every country there's a big city whereby it becomes a representative of culture and politics and economics of all of that nation.
这些因素潜在的可以推动整个国家、整个时代、整个文化认识耶稣基督福音应当怎么样。
We know that this kind of city would know what to do in terms of the preaching the gospel of the Lord to the whole country.
所以保罗在各处传道的时候
，So Paul went in all places when he was preaching.
他心里没有忘记，他应当也把福音传给在罗马城里面。
And his heart never forget that he must preach the gospel to the city of Rome.
罗马城的情形，我上个礼拜已经跟大家讲了。
The city of Rome, what kind of background that he had, I've expounded last week.
从各方面人文的进步来说。是当时世界最大的城市。
From humanistic civilization point of view, it's more advanced of the age.
还有许多许多文化上的成就。
And there were also much of the achievement in culture.
在政治上是全世界最有权柄的城市。
In politics, it's the most powerful city in the whole world at the time.
但是在罪恶方面，罗马城像其他的大城是全世界最堕落的城市。
But so in terms of sin, like any other big city in the whole world, they are so down and also so corrupted.
这个城市里面有许多最大的政府的官邸。
And a lot of these big palaces of the government.
里面有最多玩弄政治权柄的手段。
And many of these political means and players were being played at.
罗马城有最多最高的法院。
And they had the biggest court in Rome.
里面是最践踏公义、最践踏玩弄法律的地方。
But there was a place that trembled the justice and righteousness.
罗马城是最奢华、艳落、物质文明丰丰富富的地方。
It was the richest and most luxurious place in the world.
罗马城也是最勇敢、犯罪与野蛮人没有什么分别的一个城市。
And it was also a city that's brave in terms of sinning like a savage people.
罗马城的斗兽场里面
，because the amphitheater
把有神形象样的人跟野兽一同放在一起，让他们厮杀。让他们决斗
whereby the humankind is created after the image of God fight and fight with the beast、
哦、这些人死的时候许多人会拍掌许多人会欢呼表示了他所不喜欢的人已经给野兽吞吃
when these people die in the amphitheater people will applaud will be so joyful
在一方面光明灿烂
on the one hand there was glory and brightness
另外一方面人性的阴暗沉沦道德的沦丧也是不可言喻的。
But on the other hand, there was a corruptness and also the darkness in that place.
这些事不但发生在普通的老百姓的里面。
This thing happens not just in the common people.
甚至在王宫里面更是如此。
But also even more so in the palaces.
历史记载罗马城的凯撒是帝国最有权柄的人。有的是曾经自己杀自己母亲的
and also the history recorded the Caesars some of the Caesars kill even their own mother
有一些是随便把人家的妻子硬硬的把他抢过来
and some even were snatched away wives of others
还有历史记载卡里古拉这个邪恶的皇帝有一些男人同女子结婚以前女人的第一晚上要先送到他的房间里面
and also historical records say that one of these emperors would also have the virginity of those who want to get married
这不像人只像出生的政治家他们到底需要不需要福音
These politicians who are not like humankind but like animals do they or do they not need the gospel
上个礼拜我们说到罗马帝国消灭征服了希腊的土地的时候
We know that at the time when the Roman Empire conquered the land of the Greek
也就是罗马人的头脑被希腊的思想所征服的同一个时候
and also it's the same time whereby the mind of the Roman are being conquered by the Greek
从此以后这个罗马帝国的扩张希腊的文明就变成在世界各地被接受了
so that the expansion of the Roman Empire also equal to the acceptance of the civilization of the Greek
但当一个人接受了思想上的心理上的哲学上的这些重大发现以后是不是等于他们的心灵他们的道德他们的人性也已经被改善了。
If a person were to receive all this great civilization philosophy, does it mean that even their heart spirituality they have been changed?
事实 不是如此。
Fact tell that they are not so.
希腊虽然文明高尚
，even though the Greek civilization is so glorious，
但他们自己的伦理是没有绝对的标准。
But then their own morality doesn't have an absolute standard。
比如说希柏拉图，他认为年少的时候，少年阶段的生命是完全没有意义的。
For instance, this Plato would deem that the youth period of the life is not meaningful。
所以他的理想国里面。他认为男人应当37岁才结婚。
So in his utopia, he said that the man should get married only at 37.
什么原因呢
？Why？
因为这以前许多的少男少女根本不懂得人生是什么，所以那个时候结婚太早了，不成熟，很危险。
Because before that age, a lot of young people do not know what's the meaning of life. It's dangerous for them to get married early.
人的少年是没有意义的。
The youth of people has no meaning at all, he says.
那么结婚的时候应当娶一个18到20岁的女孩子。
So when you get married, you must marry to a lady who is 18 or 17 years old.
所以柏拉图相信男女结婚应当相差差不多10-20岁。
Plato he deemed that when the man and the lady to get married, the difference must be about this age.
你在问他为什么原因呢
？You ask him why?
因为他到50-60岁的时候呢，这个男的呢的性欲跟你的性欲配合比较可以长久。
Because he said that at the age of 50 or 60 for a man, then they will compromise and come in accordance in the sexual life.
换一句话，他就是说呢，男的不容易老，女的比较容易老。
Which means the male will not get old earlier or younger or faster compared to the female.
所以呢，你不要娶和你同年龄或者比你大的人。
So do not get married to those people who are the same age or even older than you.
这个不是我讲，是柏拉图讲的。
I didn't say that. Plato said that.
所以如果你娶了，就静静乖乖的就是了。
So if you got married in that way, just keep quiet.
那么这种文化。其实当时最有哲学头脑的文化。
So this is the kind of culture that's brought by the most philosophical brain.
当我看他的书的时候
，When I read his book，
我马上问几个问题。
I ask a few questions.
其中一个最重要的问题
，One of the most important questions is，
柏拉图要怎么解决一个少男从他发育以后到37岁性的需要的问题
？And how would he deal the problem of the sexual desire of a one who is young until his age of 37？
那这一20年的时间。自己男人一定是嫖妓，社会的道德一定是败坏。
For this 20 years, probably these young people will go and prostitute.
啊，嫖妓的时候一定有一些的女人要供奉他们，才能满足他们的需要。
So when they go and womanize, there must be some prostitute to satisfy the need.
所以我思想来思想去。
So when I was thinking and thinking,
我看见世界最高的文化。
I see the highest civilization.
如果没有神的道。还是把人带到很可怕的堕落的边缘。
If there is no word of God, then will bring men to the verge of danger.
那当罗马人统治征服了希腊以后
，So when the Roman Empire conquered the land of the Greek,
无论希腊的雕刻、希腊的建筑、希腊的艺术、希腊的诗歌、希腊的哲学，都侵吞到整个罗马帝国的每一个阶层里面来。
Whether it's the art, whether it's the sculpture, whether it's the building, the philosophy of the Greek now invaded into the territory of the Roman Empire.
今天你在法国的罗罗浮宫
，Today if you go to the Louvre，
在圣彼得堡的 Heritage，
in St. Petersburg's Heritage，
或者你在 British Museum 里面
，or British Museum，
或者你在伦敦其他最大的博物馆
，or some of the big museum in London，
或者 New York 的 Metropolitan Museum 里面
，or the Metropolitan Museum in New York，
你除了看到希腊的那些最美。最完全的雕刻以外
，other than see the most perfect sculpture of the Greek，
你注意的时候发现许多不是原品，有许多乃是 Roman copy of Greek。
You see that many of these are not original making, but rather the Roman copies of that original piece.
所以罗马对希腊文化的承受和赞扬
，so the inheriting of this and the praises of this Greek culture by the Romans，
几乎已经变成他们整个社会的灵魂了。
It as if it turned into the souls of the Roman Empire.
那罗马帝国有很强的军事和法律这两件事情。
The Roman Empire has two very great things, those of military and also the legal system.
他们的强兵黩武是毫无谈道德。
And also they have a great army but do not have good ethics.
就像进化论的思想家所赞成的就是弱肉强食不进生存这个是自然淘汰率。
Like, just like an evolution theory with the survival of the fittest.
Natural selection in the means of selective existing survival of the fittest 的那个理论一样的
just like a natural selection theory the survival of the fittest
所以谁成功就做王
So who survived? Who shall be the king?
谁失败就做奴隶。
And who fail? Who shall be the slave?
罗马帝国也就变成一个到处贩卖土地奴隶的一个帝国了。
So Roman Empire becomes an empire whereby they sell slaves in the marketplace.
罗马帝国也很注重公义同法律的问题。
And also it's the place that places emphasis on laws and legal systems.
但是法律应当是人的主人，却成了人的仆人。
But laws should be the master of man, but yet they become the servant of mankind.
在希腊里面有一个神。
In Greek, there's a god
叫做法律的神
and the god of laws.
这个法律的神呢，拿着一个天平
and he will take a balance, a scale.
站得很直
and he stand very still.
但是呢，他的眼睛是用一个手绢把它盖起来
But then his eyes are being blindfolded.
换句话，他要定公平的时候
which means when he was just about justice,
哪一个对，哪一个错
who is right, who is wrong,
眼睛要盖起来
he must close his eyes.
如果他眼睛开起来看这个这是总统的孩子，那个是仆人的孩子。他说这个对，那个错，就不公平了。
Because if you were to open the eye, then you see this son of president, this son of the slave, then you will judge rightly.
所以一定要把眼睛盖起来。
So he must be blindfolded.
他才知道怎么正，怎么不正。
Then he will know what is right, what is wrong.
所以现在印尼选总统不选眼睛大的哈比比。
So Indonesia, when they have the president, they do not have a Habibie who is two eyes wide open.
因为眼睛这么大，看来看去就看苏干诺、苏哈多跟他的关系。
Because he will see only the relationship of him and Suharto.
所以选那个瓦希出来的时候
，the Wahid was elected. He doesn't care for anything.
管不管你是不是苏哈多的孩子，什么这样就是这样。
I don't care whether you're son of Suharto. That will be the way it is to be.
维兰多下来就下来。
维兰多 you must come down and come down.
这比较像希腊的法律的神呐。
So it must be like the god of the Greek.
那么这是公义的原则，应当是这样才对的。
So this the legal righteousness and principles should be like that.
但是到了。这个罗马帝国最鼎盛的时候
But when it comes to the apex of the Roman Empire
所谓的公义已经变成一个空洞的理念性的名词
Justice becomes only by the terms in idealism
把希腊跟罗马两个帝国糅合起来
So when they combine together the Greek and also the Rome
他们就产生一个理想的人应当是怎么样
They say the ideal man must be such and such
当你看见一个人的时候
When you see a man
你其实很佩服他
But at the same time, when beginning me, you want to admire him. Why?
因为你没有跟他住在一起。
Because you never stay with him.
你最佩服的人，你去问他老婆，你就知道他到底伟大到什么。
The one you admire most, ask his wife, then you know how great he is.
很多做太太的心里想，我的丈夫娘这么尊重他，在家里坏透了，你都不知道。
And you say that you respect my husband so much, but then in the house, he is the worst man.
所以呢，许多人讲这么在教的理想的人格应当怎么样
？So a lot of people talk about idealistic personality must be such and such.
应当这样，应当那样。
Must be this and that.
这理念界每一个人都有高尚人格的理想。
You have the noble and high standard of idealism.
亚里士多德就写了一些关于理想的人这些哲学。
Aristotle has written something about this ideal man, this kind of philosophy.
后来也影响了整个罗马帝国的人生观。
Later on, it affected the life concept of the whole Greek Empire, Roman Empire.
比如说
For instance,
人可以骄傲吗？
Can man be proud?
Aristotle 不可以。
Aristotle say no.
人可以自卑吗？
Can man be feeling inferior?
Should we be superior? No. Inferior, neither. No. 两个都不可以。
We need not to feel the inferior.
那么怎么办呢
？What to do now?
他们在狂傲与自卑的中间，要有自尊又尊敬别人。
You see, in the midst of the self-pity and boasting, we must respect ourselves and respect others.
在太过无理的浪费同太过吝啬，从不帮助人的中间。你能懂得该用的钱要好好用，不该用的一块都不随便用。
In terms of the wastefulness, in terms of this being thrifty, you must know how to behave yourself so that you will spend rightly.
所以他的整个人生观的理想的最高峰，就等于好像中国孔子所讲的中庸之道那样。
So in the highest ideal of this Aristotle, like Confucius talking about this the middle course.
那么这些东西影响到罗马帝国的时候
，So when this has influenced the Roman Empire.
他们就要从希腊的历史中间找出到底哪一个人是理想的那个化身。
So that in the Greek history, they want to find who then is the figure of this ideal man.
结果他们找到罗马，哎，这个希腊的一个诗人荷马，不是罗马。荷马 所写的两个很重要的文学作品。
So they found two very important writing of Homer.
这个 Homer 写了《伊利亚》。
And he has written Iliad.
又写了另外一本叫 Odyssey 这本书。
And the other book is Odyssey.
Odyssey 就是变成英文的 Ulysses.
Ulysses that was in English.
这 Ulysses 可以代表理想人的几种性格总结合在一个人生命里。
And it becomes the integration of the ideal man, how it's being summed up.
Ulysses 是谁呢？
Ulysses who is?
Ulysses 是爱琴海一个小岛里面小王国的一个国王。
Ulysses is the king of a very small country in the sea of Aegean.
这个的王国呢叫做 Ithaca.
It's called Ithaca.
当然这一个荷马的诗写到他出去远征的时候，回来的时候，他遇到了十年的大灾难。
And Homer wrote that when he went out to conquer in a place, when he came back for that 10 years of journey, he make up 10 very big troubles.
因为这个人太勇敢了。
Because he was so brave.
所以他把海洋的神海绵王 Neptune 的像把它丢在河里面，那么就跟女先知咒诅你永远不得平安。
So he threw the figure of Neptune into the river and even cursed some of the goddesses.
他就带着咒诅航海回家。
And also with that kind of curse, he journeyed back home.
这短短的路程，他要航海在海中大浪翻腾的中间，十年才到他的家。
But there was a very small short journey, yet he has to use 10 years in that course of journey to go back.
Ulysses 的生命同他的过程。
So the life of Ulysses and also the progress of his life.
代表四种事情的结合。
It represents the integration of four things.
第一
，the first
就是智慧
，wisdom。
第二
，the second
就是勇敢
，bravery。
第三
，the third。
就是公义
righteousness，
第四
the fourth
就是节制
that is self control。
我再讲一次啊，第一
the first
智慧
wisdom，
第二
the second
勇敢
bravery，
第三
the third
公义
justice，
第四
the fourth
节制
self control。
So wisdom， courage， righteousness， justice， and temperance。This is a so-called ideal character of a man.
这就是一个理想的人四个很重要的部分。
一个人要有智慧。
A man must have the wisdom.
他不可以傻里傻气的。
He cannot be stupid.
第二，这个人要勇敢。
The second, he must be courageous.
现在很多有智慧的人都是最不勇敢的人。
And many people who are wise today are not courageous enough.
所以当回教徒要烧基督教的房子的时候。
So when the Islam, Muslim want to burn the houses of the Christians.
有基督徒就在他们门前说，这是回教徒的家，就不必烧了。
And some of these Christians were like, this is the home of the Muslim, and then it will not be burned.
人家说，你怎么这样写呢？
How can you write so?
他说，我们要有智慧嘛。
We must have wisdom, he said.
其实不是智慧就是胆小。
Actually, it's not wisdom because they're timid.
智慧加勇敢。
So wisdom plus the courage.
那好了没有？
Is that enough?
不够。
No.
你要公义。
You must be righteous.
对人，有钱人没有钱人同样看待。
To the rich and the poor, you must treat them equal.
有地位没有地位同样看待。
Whether they're high in position or low in position, you must treat them equal.
你才是正人君子。
Then you are a just man.
这是第三样。
That's the third.
第四样呢？
The fourth.
我勇敢吗？
Am I courageous?
我什么都可以做嘛。
I can do all things.
不能你要节制。
No, you must be temple.
当做的做。
When you have to do, you have to do.
发脾气发到什么地方？
Where will you lose a temper?
你停下来。你有爱情到什么地方？
Where will you have love?
你要节制。
You must have self control.
你有这个你的这个愿望到多大？
How big must your desire be?
你要节制。
You must have self control.
你权柄到什么地步？
How much you must have power?
你用权的节制。
You must have self control.
这是懂得自我节制的人，这样才是正人君子。
The one who know how to control himself is the gentleman.
你看这一个的这样伟大的理想的人格。
Such a great ideal personality that he had.
在 Ulysses 这个王的身上显出来。
In Ulysses this king, it was being manifested.
Ulysses 这些个性。就变成了整个影响希腊罗马社会人格的理想论。
So this personality of Ulysses become the influence of the doctrine of the good personality of the Romans.
你说唐牧师，你忘记这是罗马书，变成讲希腊故事了。
And so Pastor Tong, you forgot that this the expounding on the book of Romans. You are talking about history of the Greek.
我还没有老到那个地步。
I'm not that old yet.
所以我告诉你
，I want to tell you，
为什么看见保罗的书信讲公义、节制、智慧等等。
Why is that? Paul's book expounded on wisdom, on self-control, on courage.
罗马的城市
the city of Rome
需要什么？
What do they need?
需要福音。
They need the gospel.
需要什么福音?
What do they need? What kind of gospel?
神的福音。
The gospel of the Lord.
我今天不愿意以那些很肤浅的福音论、福音派的人等量齐观。
Today I'm not going to be equal with those that are very shallow evangelicalism.
因为许多许多所谓福音派的人，除了知道一点福音的事情，什么都不懂。
And because many times those evangelicals only know about the gospel and they know nothing at all.
保罗是不是福音派的呢?
Paul, is he an evangelical?
是。
Yes.
保罗一生最重要的任务是传福音吗?
And the whole life of Paul is the most important is to preach the gospel?
是。
Yes.
保罗自己这样宣称吗?
And Paul, does he proclaim such?
是。
Yes.
你怎么知道呢?
How do you know?
就在你刚才读的圣经里面。
Because in the Bible they have just read.
耶稣基督的仆人保罗。
The servant of the Lord Paul.
是蒙特派传福音的
and he was especially commissioned to preach the gospel.
在他其他的书信里这么讲
in his other epistle he wrote so.
我什么都不知道，只知道基督钉他钉十字架。
I know nothing but Christ Jesus. He was nailed on the cross.
保罗说，无论我所做的是什么事，都是为福音的缘故。
He said that Paul said, no matter what I do, it is for the sake of the gospel.
我要叫别人与我同得到这福音的好处。
So that people and I will get the profit of this gospel.
所以保罗一生最大的人生的目的就是把福音。
So the biggest purpose of Paul in his life is to preach the gospel.
把福音的奥秘解明。
And also to expound on the profundity of the gospel.
把福音的大能彰显出来。
And also to manifest the power of the gospel.
借着福音结果子。
And through the gospel you want to bear fruit.
使别人透过一福音认识他所信的主。
The others through the fruit of the gospel will know the God that he believes.
保罗无疑的是一个福音派的人。
That Paul, of course, he was an evangelical.
专以福音来侍奉上帝的人。
He was faithful to the gospel and to preach the gospel.
那么你说保罗除了福音什么都不知道吗?
Other than the gospel, does it mean that Paul doesn't know anything at all?
他那个什么都不知道跟你什么不知道是不一样的。
When he said that he doesn't know anything, it's different compared to what you say when you say,I don't know anything.
许多人什么都不知道，他本来什么都不知道。
A lot of people when they say that I do not know anything, actually they do not know anything at all.
保罗相反，他什么都知道。
But in the reverse, Paul know everything.
为福音的缘故，不把那些知道跟对福音的知道并列同论。
But because of that, he will not compare or put the same position of that knowledge of the gospel and that knowledge of other things.
所以对那些福音的福音派的人士。
And to those evangelical who know about the gospel,
请你听保罗讲的句话。
Just listen to what Paul says.
若有人以为他知道什么
，If anybody deems that he know anything,
按照他所该知道的，他还是不知道。
According to what he should know, he know nothing.
所以圣经里面的不知道有好多种不同的层次是你不知道的。
So there are many different levels of when you say that I do not know.
保罗知道的东西太多了。
Paul knew a lot of things.
保罗的书信里面。
And in the Epistle of Paul,
提到希腊的精神
he mentioned the spirit of the Greek,
提到罗马的公义
about the righteousness of the Roman,
用了罗马法庭里面用的词句的
and also the terms that are used in the court of Roman.
保罗在亚六巴古的时候
in Areopagus,
他对以比古罗派的哲学家辩论
he also debated with the Epicureans.
他应用史多亚派哲学家的诗歌里面的词句来对他们讲
and also used the poetic verses coming from the Stoic.
保罗不像今天许多肤浅的传道人
Paul is not like a shallow evangelical
name 当时是对整个犹太传统完全精通熟悉的一个使徒
He was the apostle that knew through and through about the legal system of Jews
他是又是对一个整个希腊哲学的传统从这个整个这个罗马的政治同军事完全了解的
But also he totally understand of the military and the legal system of the Roman Empire
保罗又是对运动一这个对着明白的非常好像就易如反掌可以举出所有的事情来讲
and Paul even knew very well about these movements
我相信保罗是个运动家
Paul is the one that have a sudden movement
保罗是个很健康的人
the one who was very healthy
身心俱健
whether it's physically or spiritually he was healthy
思想敏锐
and also he's very sharp in his mind
个人的思考保罗与罗马书的关系的时候
when I ponder about relationship of Paul and the epistle to the Romans
我写下几点很重要的话语
few very important words I've written down